The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am Terry Cushman. We live in a different world than we lived in last night when we recorded a very depressing episode covering mostly the Patrick Sandoval signing, which put me in a very dark place because erroneously I thought that was going to be the end of our additions to the rotation. Thankfully, I was wrong. Walker Buehler agreed to a one-year deal with the Red Sox for $21 million, basically the qualifying offer. So he will slot into the rotation, probably behind Crochet and Tanner Houck. So we're going to get into this development, how we feel, and what we might expect with one or two moves going forward. With me tonight, Nick Diamond, Jeremy Schilling. How are you, gentlemen?
I am so happy they're trying. So I'm going to go with elated. I'm elated, Terry.
I'm extremely happy. You know, this was the move. We were kind of talking about it last night. Like, this is the move they have to go do. Like, they need Walker Buehler and we'll be happy. At least we'll be confident that the rotation is good enough going forward to at least be an okay team. So I'm very happy going forward right now. I'm surprised it was only a one-year deal, but I'm happy. I'm happy it got done. And it's better than Nick Pivetta on that qualifying offer, so...
Yeah, you're getting a lot more, you get a lot more upside there. And of all the one-year deals we've had in the last 4 or 5 years, and there's been a lot of them, this one has the highest upside of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that doesn't want to sign anybody on the wrong side of 30, Buehler will be 30 next year. This kind of fits both camps where Buehler is coming off a limited shortened season, coming back from Tommy John. He wants a one-year prove-it deal, and all the commentary I heard today, that was what he wanted. He wants to have a prove-it year and then get his big deal to close out the back end of his career. Red Sox don't want to pay anybody, so it's like the perfect marriage. We get a guy 1 year. He will not re-sign unless he underperforms, and a guy highly motivated, and – it shows that the Red Sox on some level have at least a minimal to medium interest in trying to win in 2025.
Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to happen. And I woke up this morning to Sean Manaea agreed to a 3-year deal with the Mets. So I'm like, okay, well, there's another one. And it was just misery. And a lot of first basemen have come off the board. Pete Alonso is still out there, but Christian Walker signed over the weekend. The Guardians made a trade. I'm pretty sure there was one more first baseman signed somewhere in there. But all these pieces, it's just like the Red Sox are stuck in neutral. And finally, and I'm just going to say it, this is the best I have felt going into spring training since probably 2019. Like, this is the best rotation we've had, and everyone's a wild card. I mean, Crochet, to some extent, is a wild card. He's coming into a new team with a new pitching program. You know, how can he just maintain what he gave you last year? Buehler, he needs to put it together for a full season. Can he do it? Can Bayo have a breakout year. He hasn't done that yet. Giolito, what are you getting out of him? There's a lot of wild cards here, but with all those five guys I mentioned, you still have Crawford at the moment. You have Fitz, you have Priester. I think there's some combination of five pitchers in there that's gonna help you get to 90 to 95 wins. I haven't felt that way in a long time.
Terry, if before this morning's move, it was Crochet, Giolito, Hauk, Crawford, and Bayo, who comes out in place of Walker Buehler, in your opinion? What's the move?
Wait, so explain that one more time.
So we have Crochet, Giolito, Hauk, Crawford, Bayo as our starting five coming into basically this signing. Now that we've signed them, how do you see that playing out?
Okay, so your odd man out, in other words, I think it's Cutter Crawford.
And what do you think the resolution is there? Do you think they send him to the bullpen, or is this force a trade?
Well, you still need a right-handed bat. And there's still the Bregman buzz isn't going to go away until he signs somewhere. So you could easily put him in a package for a third outfielder, I would say. And or maybe even a first baseman. I don't know, but he could be part of that solution. But we've never had a surplus like this ever.
I don't hate having Crawford as the long man in the bullpen, creating some big league depth without having to go get Fitz. Or the other guy
Priester.
That came from Pittsburgh. So, I mean, I think it just lengthens the starting rotation by keeping Crawford and putting him in the bullpen. There's no way we're going to go the whole season with everyone making every start. I think, I just think it gives kind of a Swiss Army knife to the back end of the rotation. You could throw him in to extend Hauk, give him an extra day or skip a start with an eye towards keeping people healthy. What do you think about something like that happening?
Well, wasn't it, Nick would probably know better. One of the teams had it was a playoff team, and they had a 6-man rotation going down the stretch. I just wonder if other teams are going to mess with that. Do you know who that was, Nick?
No, I know the Dodgers already committed to one, but that is got 100% to do with Ohtani coming back. So,
okay.
I don't know.
Plus, I mean, Glasnow not healthy. Like there's.
I think the Dodgers can afford to do it. They have like 9 pitchers that are very, very good. So they can do whatever they want. I think Cutter Crawford does get traded, but I would love to keep him as like a swing man, or I think he's probably going to be better than Lucas Giolito.
Well, that's what I wanted to kind of touch on. So, the good thing about the Buehler signing is if Giolito doesn't work out, both guys are like an insurance policy to the other guy. And you really just need one of them to work out and pitch to the level of a number three. Give you a sub-4 ERA. And I just think there's enough depth around them to do that. And it wouldn't surprise me if Giolito makes 26 to 28 starts, gives you an ERA of like 3.80. That wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if he's terrible and we DFA him in mid-June. So that's the risk. You know, if we deal Crawford, it's one less depth piece. And we do know that Cutter Crawford is a bona fide starting pitcher. We don't know that about Richard Fitz yet, and we don't know it about Quinn Priester. So
totally agree with that last point.
It's iffy. I cautiously optimistic. I do think Fitz or Priester will be a bona fide starting pitcher, but we just haven't seen it.
So do you think this is the end of the pitching, except for maybe another arm in the bullpen and a right-handed bat?
Those are the next things. Yeah, we did, and we kind of discussed it last night. We got that Austin Adams kid who pitched in Oakland last year. Most likely he'll make the team, I think, and he could be a very serviceable, 6th or 7th inning guy. So I don't know how crazy they'll get, but, you know, maybe you could get a controllable late inning guy with upside with Crawford being in that deal. Like, I wouldn't rule that out.
So they do need to make a 40-man move for Walker Buehler. So there could be a trade coming soon. It could be a DFA situation. Who knows? I doubt it's Cutter Crawford trade unless he's like a throw-in to make a deal better. I don't think he's going to be a centerpiece at all. Unless it's like a salary dump, it could be like take Yoshida off her hands. We'll give you Cutter Crawford for free. I don't know. Just kind of throwing stuff out there. But I think there'll be some sort of trade. Winkowski could be gone. One of these guys are gone. I think they already got Boozer out there. So I don't know which reliever is the next to be DFA'd, but there's going to be one soon.
You've got that Guerrero kid I mentioned, Zach Penrod. I think you could easily DFA him. So I don't think it's really a conundrum that we have. But so what do we do with how do we get that right-handed bat at this point?
I mean, you know what I want to do.
You want Vladimir.
I want Vlad Jr. And it solves my Cassis problem. I would go Crawford, Cassis, Abreu, and a prospect tomorrow. That's what I want.
Those three would definitely be in the deal, I feel like. You're probably going to have one more prospect that, you know, might hurt a little. It won't be your big three, I guess we'll call it, now that Teal is gone. But
throw Mayer in there.
I don't know. I would just want to hold him for maybe another trade down the line.
We'll Cutter Crawford in.
No, he is.
Well,
yeah.
He was already in.
He's already in.
Yeah, yeah. Him, Casas, and Abreu. I mean, those three alone stabilizes Toronto. Like, they don't have to do a complete teardown. And then they can trade Bichette, probably get a pretty nice haul for him if they wanted to. And I don't know what their farm looks like, but Springer's going to come off the books pretty soon. Gausman and Bassett come off the books after this year, I think. So that's why Crawford would be somewhat valuable there. He's not a front-end guy like those two are, but he's a stabilizer. So that's definitely the move I would make. Now, the interesting thing here is, I can't remember if we talked about it last night on the show, but Vladimir turned down a deal worth $340 million. Now, 2 months ago, that's where I would have started too for the extension. It probably goes up, you know, from there, but that's where I would have started. But thanks to Ohtani and Soto, he's looking at a lot more. Now, that's my knee jerk anyway to Ohtani and Soto, but out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at Pete Alonso, and he's not getting signed, and he's not as good as Vladimir by any means, but I wouldn't say it's like a huge disparity. I mean, if you put either one of them on the Red Sox, your odds of winning a championship are about the same. So if Alonso gets a much lower deal than we anticipated, what does that do to Vladimir's market? It's hard.
Well,
to
isn't
pinpoint.
Vlad Jr. 5 years younger?
That's a good question. He's the same age as Devers. Yeah. So is Alonso 30
younger than Alonso's older?
He's like 26 and Alonso's 30 or 31. I want no part of a long-term deal with Alonso. Like, no, thank you.
Well,
I'd maybe do 3 years, but that's never going to get it done. I don't see him as a fit in Boston.
I think he's looking at at least 4, maybe 5. So Alonso just turned 30 this month. He's not high on my list, and he hasn't been. But I'm just saying, I mean, he can impact a team in a big way. Only hit 240 this year, but 34 bombs. I don't know how he profiles at Fenway, but I don't know. I don't know if Vladimir's really going to get the $500 million that people were talking about. He might.
I think if he goes to free agency, he does.
Even though he's a chubby first baseman?
Yeah, I think if he has another good year, if he sucks, then no. But if he puts the same year he did this year, then yeah. Somebody's going to get desperate for him. The Mets, at the Red Sox. I don't know if the Red Sox will be able to compete with the Mets, but somebody's going to get desperate for Vladimir Guerrero, and it's going to start with a five.
I mean, I would honestly probably pay that. He'll be, what, 27 next year, or is that this year?
I'd pay it. I don't care. I'd pay it.
I mean, his Fenway numbers are just off the charts, and I'm pulling it up right now. He is...
great personality.
Wow, he's only 25.
That is my, until I hear news that he's signing an extension or Toronto's moving him elsewhere, that's what I want.
Well, just I think today it came out that he's put a deadline of the day they report to spring training. He's not going to negotiate with the Blue Jays after that. But what's interesting to me is he's still kind of open to it. So he's willing to talk to Toronto. So he's willing to talk. And if the Red Sox make that pivot, obviously he's going to negotiate with us. I want to know what the number is. I want that to be leaked out. What is he looking for? What's the buy it now price? I don't know if we'll get that, but
go, if you're Breslow and Henry agrees, and I obviously, you know how I feel about that scumbag, but let's say Henry says, go work out a deal and then let's talk money, you know, while with like an illegal tampering thing where the Blue Jays allow us to go off from 450 and see what the response is. You're not going to insult them. 425, you know, like start with something with a four in it and you're going to get some feedback from the player. Now, if they really want him, these talks should be happening. They absolutely should be happening. So obviously they don't want it to get out. They don't want a market to generate behind them. They want to limit competition, which I get, and that's smart. But there's been no commentary whatsoever, which has me concerned that they're not kicking the tires on it. But there's nothing preventing Breslow, as long as ownership authorizes him to do so, is to go work out the framework of a deal. You agree to a deal, and then you give us 10 days to talk to the player. That's what they should be doing.
Toronto, I guess, basically just has to put up the bat signal. Yeah, okay, we'll take calls on him, and we'll see. I mean, what other teams would give that up this year? I don't think the Mets would do it this year. I don't think the Dodgers do it this year. The Yankees just signed Goldschmidt, so they're out of it. I mean,
for 1 year. That's the problem, is if you let him get to free agency and he has another good year, the price is going to go up.
It will. It absolutely will.
So they should, if the limited market, people are kind of settled at the position. You have assets they want. They may not be the assets you want to give up, but that you got to make a tough call there. But if you really want the player, go and get him.
Albert Pujols, as we've mentioned recently, has the highest contract of all time for first baseman, and that's $240 million over, I think it was a 10-year deal. So, if you come in at $450, you're not quite doubling it, but you're massively exceeding the previous number. But
I mean, I think it's in line with the way money's been inflated in baseball.
Right.
I don't think it's out of control from Pujols, but remember, Pujols was what, 20 years ago? That contract? It was a 10-year contract, and it's been 10 years. I mean, it's 20 years ago. The money has gone up tremendously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to use that as the barometer, I mean, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, well, I just think it speaks to the pattern where first basemen just don't get paid. It's an easy position to field. You can convert almost any type of player into a first baseman And so that's why I'm wondering. I'm skeptical.
But here's the factor. Here, Terry, we have a right-handed hitting problem. We agree. We overpaid for Buehler to get him to come to the Boston Red Sox. Like, they didn't give him a qualifying offer because they didn't think there'd be a market for it for him, and there wasn't. So in my opinion, we overpaid for him for the 1 year, which is what you have to do when you suck.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying.
When you build the roster the way we've built it, you probably have to overpay to go get the preeminent right-handed at bat, assuming he's available.
Yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm just questioning what his value ultimately ends up being, you know, for when we do it. And, you know.
Can't afford to wait and find out. You have to go be aggressive and get him now.
And I would. Yeah, I absolutely would. And I was saying it before Casas got hurt last year, and I got roasted for it. That tweet went viral as hell. It was showing up on Discords, the screenshot of it and all that. I'm still all in on it, but just as a matter of due diligence here, Tristan Casas hasn't been as easy to trade as we thought we would. Would we be willing to send him to St. Louis in the Arenado deal?
No.
You think that's an overpay?
I think his upside is worth more to the Red Sox than it is to other teams. I think he fits Fenway Park better if he hits those oppo doubles off the wall, those high fly balls to the opposite field. I think a lot of teams don't think those are going to get out or be doubles in their ballpark, and I just think he's going to fit the Red Sox better. I do think that would get the deal done, though. I think the Cardinals do that.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. I'm not saying I love it necessarily, but it's just like I feel like if you go into the season with Casas and Yoshida on your roster, I just feel like you're not going to be balanced.
I'm at the point that Yoshida's DFA'd. Just DFA him, get him off the team. It doesn't matter. That's the way to get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, and you might have to. And if it means winning more games and being balanced, I would do that. The one thing that just is tantalizing as hell to me is to get Arenado for 3 years for $15 million a year. Like, that's...
I mean, you could do the same and get Teoscar for 3 years, $23 million, and keep Casas. So that's probably the route I would go. I don't know if they're going to actually pay Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, I don't know.
But both players require subtractions.
They do, yeah.
Well, you have to free up a spot. We're going to go DFA Yoshida, and he's your everyday DH.
So you don't have him playing in the outfield. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I would keep Duran, Rafael, and then you could keep Willier in that situation if you really need to.
I
don't want to keep Willier because I think Roman Anthony's the guy there, but Willier could be kept if you just DFA Yoshida and play the same outfield as last year, and hopefully they're better.
Yeah, I mean, Duran hits lefties okay. I don't have his numbers up in front of me, but and then Anthony has throughout his minors run. And then I think Abreu is, you know, the newer version of Jock Peterson, which is fine. I mean, that's
fine with Rob Refsnyder as the platoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so. here's the problem with that, Nick. And I know it's not our money and, you know, John Henry has certainly made plenty and all that, but there's no chance they're going to DF a guy with 3 years left at 18.6 per remaining.
Yeah, but they don't play him either. Like, Cora hates him. Breslow doesn't like him. What's the point of keeping him on this roster and just embarrassing the guy? Like, I don't know. It's kind of like you sit down to Henry and be like, your last guy, Bloom, screwed up. You gave him this guy way too much money. Everybody else agrees. We agree. Just cut your losses so we can make the team better. I don't know. You have to have the conversation with him. He might just be like, screw you, it's not happening. But
and
I think
other teams know the predicament that we're in, and they're like, let's just wait till they DFA him so we can pay him the league minimum.
Yeah, somebody will take a shot with him. Like, he's not an awful, awful player, but nobody's going to give up assets for that money with that contract.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at having him in the organization for 2025, hoping that they can rehab his value.
If you can trade Casas and then your righty bat goes into first, and then you still have Yoshida, and he's just on fire, tearing the cover off the ball in May. Maybe you can move him at that point. I think that's your only shot. It's not going to happen before the season starts. You know, not for, you know, in terms of his contract, like, and even when you move him, you're eating, even in the best case scenario, you're probably eating half of it.
There's not even a team out there that matches up well to, like, take him. Like, who would need a terrible fielding outfielder that can hit righties all right? Like, who could get hurt in spring training that would force a trade? There's not many teams out there that I could see this happening, that we could get lucky and a team would want him.
It would just
The problem too is you can't play the outfield.
Yeah, it would have to be a team where the DH isn't blocked, and probably it would help if it was a left-handed friendly park as well.
Yankees.
I mean, the Rays just got Eloy Jimenez today, who will probably do similar things that Yoshida does. The Rays are going to pay him. They're paying him $2 million with $2 million in incentives. We're paying 18 for our guy. It's just, I don't know. It is what it is. Let me just check for more news here real quick. I don't think anything's come out. Nope. Everything's good.
Do you prefer, like, if out of the three free agents or two free agents, Teoscar or Bregman, do you prefer one?
I think Bregman helps you in more ways.
Yeah, I just think the other contract is more realistic for the Red Sox, but yeah.
I agree with that.
I think Bregman is going to probably have to sign a 5-year deal at this point. I think that's what it's down to.
It seems like it's down to the Red Sox and the Tigers. And if you can't beat the Tigers, what are you doing?
Well, I think the Tigers are in a better spot to do it. Like, I just feel like they've got more financial flexibility at this point. If they want it bad enough, I think they can get him.
Where's the payroll now after the Patrick Sandoval and the Walker Buehler signings? What do they have left?
Yeah, so we've got, it's either 21 or 22 million, and then but then it goes up 20 million next year. So we wouldn't have, well, you could have Giolito come off the books, so that would be 19 million. I don't think any other major player comes off, but
yeah, the two pitchers, Buehler and Giolito.
Well, true, yeah. Yeah, Buehler would as well. So, I mean, I don't see why it would hurt us to, yeah, Chapman's $10 million. That's another one. I don't think it would hurt us to go past it. You're just, more is going to come off. Now, next year, you're probably get an extension with either Anthony or Campbell over the winter, I would think. So that'll put some back on. Here's another crazy thought. Like, this Buehler development came out at what? Probably in the 9 o'clock hour today, something like that, in the morning. Before that came out, I had just realized that the Red Sox had spent $20.5 million. And I knew that, but I had thought of it in the context of we would have paid that alone to Nick Pivetta. And here we are almost January and we haven't exceeded what we would have paid him. Like, that was like mind boggling to me. And now with Bueller, that adds, you know, another 21. So now we've spent a little over 40 this winter. We're only $5 million ahead of where we were last year with all the money that came off the books. We lost $36 million, you know, with Chapman, Martin, O'Neill, and at least one other player that came off. So,
so what you said is about 21, 22 million left.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like Randall Grichuk and the Crochet extension, and that's it.
Yeah.
Stay under.
Crochet, they have to extend him for a lot of the reasons. I mean, if you try to push it off to next winter and then he wins the Cy Young this year, he ain't talking to us next winter. He's like, I'll pitch for whatever this year and I'll get the bag next year, like a massive bag. So you have to do it. And they probably are trying to allocate a lot of that to him. So that's another thing that makes Bregman kind of a long shot. Another thing too, like, is there a right-handed bat that you could trade Casas for? Maybe another team needs a lefty and we need a righty, and it's just kind of a lateral move for both teams.
There was with the Marlins, and they already traded Jake Berger. I think Casas has more value than Jake Berger, but he was right-handed, and I think that could have been a swap that could have happened.
It could have worked for both, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know enough systems to really know, you know, if there was another candidate. But that's something I've thought about in the last couple of days. You know,
how realistic is that, given that Casas hasn't put it together yet?
I think he still has immense upside, I would say. And I've seen
I still think he can hit 35 bombs if he needs to.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever bat 300. He needs to stay healthy. I think he'll be fine if he stays healthy. But who knows if that's going to happen.
I've seen videos of him. I don't know if they were on Instagram or where, but he's in the cage right now and he's ripping them. So health shouldn't – he should be full go when spring training gets here. And I think teams know that. So – I guess this will be my last take. I don't know how they're going to resolve this, but I want Breslow to do something outside the box. I want him to do something that surprises me. You look at the Teal trade. It was nice that he did it because we hadn't in almost 10 years, but it wasn't this brilliantly executed trade. I mean, we had the Fort Knox of farm systems for position players to do this, you know? So, you know, those were the prospects we gave up. I want to see him do something cool. I want to see him do something outside the box, a move that will kind of prove he can do that. He's not just a basic GM with a basic mindset, and see what he does. And that's probably going to involve how we get our right-handed bat. But that's what I want to see. I want him to do something that none of us saw coming and think, wow, that was smart. That's what I want to see.
So you want something like the Nomar trade?
Yeah, that could be it. Or maybe it's a three-team deal. Like, Theo Epstein did the best trades of anyone. Well, Dombrowski, I guess, too. But Epstein got the most creative of any GM we had. So the three-team trade that sent Manny to, you know, L.A., we got Jason Bay. I forget how the rest of it worked, but that was cool. And I love Jason Bay. Like, for a year and a half having him, it was so cool to watch him play and crush 30 to 35 both seasons.
Yeah. I'd like to just go get, I don't know, Hossock Kim is a guy that I'd be okay with. We have no guy that could back up shortstop when the story's gone. You know, like, it's David Hamilton all over again, and he can't play short. So I need some guy who could play shortstop too. Well, so this team is it's not ready, but it's better than it was yesterday.
Right. We just need to just get a little more balance now. Rafaela in a pinch. I know we want him in the outfield. That's where I want him, but it's a viable move if it has to happen.
100%. You have that in your back pocket at any point.
Yeah. Yeah. So not too concerned there, but. All right, we'll wrap on that. I don't think we'll be back before the holiday, so I would expect a Monday morning drop, and we'll see if anything does develop. There's a good chance we could have a development before then. So, and if it's not Red Sox related, maybe it'll be MLB wide related and be worth coming on. So. So if we do not talk to you before then, everybody have a safe holiday. Be safe out on the roads. Be responsible, especially with some alcohol consumption, if there's going to be any of that going on. And again, we'll be back with you soon. Take care.